I'm aware that 5 minutes is not enough for us. I wanted to demonstrate to members that for a team alone, Transnet team, you can't give them 5 minutes to decide on how are they going to respond and then go to the comfort break as well. Share that with you going to the restrooms. So now, are we ready? Just settle down.
Thank you.
10 is better. 10 minutes is better.
Thank you, Honorable Madam Chair. I'll just respond to some of the generic questions, as I said, and then Mike will take over. The one that I have, I would like to respond to, and Mario, you can assist me on this one, is the one that was asked by Ms. Soma, and it talks about the government guarantees. I just would like to state that the last time that Transnet received a government guarantee was on two euro loans that were done in 1993 and 1994. One was for 1 billion euros, and another one was for 2 billion euros, so a total of only three. And it was done, that long ago, and I think that it will finally get paid up in 2027, if that's my understanding. Everything else that government has a loan on, and we've got about 120 odd billion rands worth of loans, all of that has been done straight on Transnet's balance sheet, so we are not dependent, and we hope to keep it that way, on government guarantees for us to get money to be able to run our business. On the issue of healthy active relationships with embassies, we're taking it that, and we are going to pursue that. Safe to say that when we were in Zimbabwe 2-3 weeks ago, our delegation, when we met with the Zimbabwe government and the Ministry of Transport and Infrastructure Development, we were led by our ambassador in Zimbabwe, Mr. Mbete. So we've done that. On the issue of the qualified audit opinion, I will ask Ms. Ganda to to respond to that. And then on the issue of the role of the AG, I'll ask her to respond to that as well. And let me see what else. Our ministry will respond on the first point that about the permanent board, and then also on the matter of pensioner increases, she will respond to that on that, and I think that I will leave it at that, and if there's anything that is not responded at the end, I will then come back to that. Mike, over to you.
Thank you very much, Madam Letape. Okay, so I think I'll just go through the questions where we haven't answered. Is checks and balances on staff morale is, and I think it also touches on the question that was brought up from Honourable Member Ranto in terms of the issues that were in Bellville. Is Tau Morwe, our acting chief executive, has done a lot of roadshows to all our business units and continues to do so, and where a lot of the issues have been identified, not dissimilar to the one that you've brought up here. So there's an action plan to sort of address those issues, issues of patronage, issues of people employing friends and families and all sorts of other issues, so to try and root that out, but also to stabilize the workforce. So a lot of that has been handled and is being handled continuously, so it's been highlighted as a key issue in our business. So hopefully Also now, with in terms of staff morale, as we go into the new operating model and people get a sense of what the future is and some stability, I think the results of staff morale at all levels, not only at senior levels, but at the most junior level all the way through the organization, are being addressed. So I think that's something that is key for us to operate successfully. Okay, then what if I can look at, we're going to touch, the department is going to touch on terms of the board. Then what I'd like to talk about is the fourth industrial revolution. How do we talk to that? The fourth industrial revolution is really about visibility and platforms and a new way of doing business. And we certainly are embracing that in all that we do in terms of our IT systems, partnering with industry, looking at how we use data analytics, artificial intelligence in terms of running our trains. We'd be looking at in the locos, the computer systems and the systems to run the locos. So from all sorts of aspects, the fourth industrial revolution is very much part of our thinking in terms of how we look at visibility of information and taking it forward there. Mario, the next question I'd like you to address is separating core and non-core assets and looking at that, reviewing them so that we don't deplete any value of the business. So, Irvin, sorry, if I can ask you to address that in terms of separating the core and non-core assets and reviewing them, what we would do so that we're not depleting any balance sheet issues should we require further funding. Okay. If you go ahead, please, Evan.
Okay, no, thanks. Thank you, Chair and members. I think this issue of the core and non-core assets, it's more one of saying what are those pieces of infrastructure that government needs to own because it's got public benefit characteristics and natural monopoly characteristics. So in that sense, we would look at the rail network, the ports network, the pipelines network as that core economic infrastructure that government needs to own for public benefit purposes. And because of its characteristics, you don't want to create private monopolies in that sort of economic infrastructure. What we then have termed as the non-core is complementary infrastructure. So it's things like terminals, property holdings, and other components of our assets like that, but they don't share those characteristics. So if I take the matter of rail terminals, for example, Transnet does own a number of rail terminals. I think we're close on 30 rail terminals. But by and large, most of the loadings and offloadings we do on rail happen through privately owned terminals. So where we're starting to make that distinction is actually about how we position our non-core terminals to help the core business to grow. So the plan is not so much around disposals, rather than how we start to partner with appropriate private sector entities to reposition our terminals. And if you look at something like Tambo Springs, now Tambo Springs is going to be a new intermodal terminal in Johannesburg, and the idea there is we are going to get a private sector partner who will help us to reposition that terminal. And the whole idea is through their know-how, through their relationships with the market, they actually help us to attract more traffic onto rail. So the separation of the core and non-core is actually just to help us with the positioning of our assets so that we can start to more aggressively pursue partnerships with the private sector to grow the contribution of those assets to our business rather than to dispose of them.
Thank you, Irvin. Hopefully that will give clarity. I'm going to now address the questions that Honourable Member Murray raised. And I'm going to ask Ms. Letlape to answer two of those questions, is in terms of how can we speed up legal actions to improve our reputation, and also to address the issue of good governance regarding the procurement department and what we're doing to be different, because she addressed, and whilst we, on that, we'll also just quickly address some of the issues around 106.4 with her, even though it came from Member Ranto. So if we can just address those three issues, please.
Okay. I will start off with the issue of speaking openly about legal action. We do report regularly on the actions that we take. What we do is we have stakeholder meetings and where we call all stakeholders to come in and join us. The last one we did, I think we did in January this year, where we just declare everything that we are working on. And there was a question about also, I mean, what is the action that we have taken on the people that have resigned in the view of that. Those that resigned, Mr. Gama was dismissed, he didn't resign. Petulo Ramusibudi resigned, and you will see that, one, he's been served already with a letter of demand for the number, amount of money that we could apportion as having been spent fruitlessly by him. You will see that also on the issue of criminal proceedings, he is in the list of people that our lawyers are currently working on putting together the criminal charges against him. Our challenge is, because these are intertwined and interlinked and investigations are still going, we don't want to rush into taking immediate action like now, today, when we're still looking at other people that we could attach to that, because then you give them a heads up in a way, and then they can plan ahead. And that's the reason we have delayed even instituting the disciplinary action against those that we already suspended in the middle of last year. So just want to assure the Portfolio Committee and honourable members that nobody that we found to have done wrong within the organisation is going to go scot-free. We meet regularly with the SIU. In fact, we're having another meeting with them on Monday morning where we share what we have found, they share what they have found, and we jointly agree who's going to be actioning what aspects of it. So it's going to be painful to a lot of individuals, and it's going to take long. For instance, we believe that some of the individuals implicated are writing articles and appearing on TV shows where they claim to not have been served with summonses and stuff. We can assure you that they have been served with summonses, and it's games that we play. So we open cards with legal action. We meet with our labor unions on a quarterly basis as a board, and when we have that meeting, we again share openly with them what we are doing and who we are taking action against. Then on the issue of the 1064 locomotives, Ms. Honourable Member Ranto, the 13 that we sent to them were in fact old locomotives that we refurbished and we sent to them. They don't come from the 1064 stable. The 1064 locomotives are too big for their network. Our 1064, the 508 that we have accepted into service are being deployed and they are working. We don't have a single one of those that is not currently being deployed. All of them are I mean, they are on the rails, they are rolling and they are pulling and they are working. And maybe, Ravi, you can add to that when you get an opportunity to speak. So the 500 odd that we've received, they are rolling. What we're doing is we've done a review of, do we need, you know, MDS 5 years ago made sense, but we know that some areas are slow, so we're rebuilding that business case and we're negotiating with the suppliers. Yes, some we might cancel completely. We've given them notice that these contracts are irregular, but because of a whole lot of intricacies that we do need the trains. They have delivered some of them. We're negotiating the timelines. We're negotiating the numbers, but we're also negotiating penalties with them that we're going to effect against them. At last count, but it's a work in progress, we were cancelling just about 110 of the 1064 because we realized that we only need 953, but that also, that business case is continuously being reworked. Just to also assure members that we are not paying for what we have received. We have not received, nor are we paying for what we are challenging, and that is in contention. So to date, we've only paid 28.1 billion rands, not the total almost 55 billion rands that we have. And we don't think, I can't say definitively, I don't think we're going to get to that because these are being like combed through with an extremely a fine-tooth comb. Just to reiterate, what we gave Zimbabwe is second-hand. Locomotives, wagons, and coaches is second-hand. It's what we had, we were not using, we refurbished, and we've loaned to them, and they are paying us for the use of those. The new ones that we have, we are using. They are running, they are working, they are generating us money, and the new ones that we will get in the next couple of months will also be deployed, and they will also get used as we go along. And I'll keep being called by Mike rather, when there's a need for me to come in.
Thank you very much. Just whilst I'm doing that as a transition, I'm just going to say the integration with the regional freight system, Honourable Member Ranto, is weekly integrated. The example with Zimbabwe, we'll send a train to the border in Bight Bridge carrying certain loads, but as it gets across the border, the axle loading that's allowed there and the gradients will only allow for 20 wagon trains in certain instances to run on a train. So we'd have to disassemble a train so that they can shuttle it up. So these are some of the issues that, in terms of the recapitalization of the networks in neighboring countries, that have to be addressed. So that's why, you know, we can't run a big iron ore train across the border, for example, because the network just wouldn't allow it. So those are some of the issues that one would have. I'm going to, and we'll come back to the Saldana questions with Shulami soon, but Ravi, if I can ask you...
Does that mean, happen to all the African countries that you work with?
Not all the African countries. It really depends on the geography of what's happening there. But, you know, for example, I think Ravi can answer on what's happening with Maputo, with other countries. I'm going to, whilst Ravi is then on the carpet to answer, he'll talk about the relationship with passenger rail, the question you asked about running trains from KZN to the Eastern Cape. I'll talk about the Bloemfontein accident that was with Shosholoza Mail and a truck. And also, Ravi, if you can talk about the Overval Tunnel timelines, I think that should address, and then also road to rail migration, please.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I think the first thing I would deal
with... Is the mic off for acting CFO?
I think the first thing I would deal with is that I'll also cover something on the Belleville complaints that Honourable Member Ranto raised. Previously, when we were here at the committee, the matter was investigated. We even had a roadshow even with the acting GCE, and even met with the people at the Belleville depot at the shop floor. Unfortunately, at the time, none of the people there could provide hardcore evidence that could be used to say, this is happening, that is happening, etc., etc. But what I think we're going to do from today onwards, Chair and Honourable Member Ranto, is I will ask for an independent investigation into Belleville, so that once and for all we have an independent report where people are interviewed, and the next time we arrive here we can produce an independent report. And it's not we said, they said, because some of the people there were scared to come forward. I think also, Honourable Ranto, I'll also let them look into Mr. Dalton Versace, because I've not heard about that before, who has been stealing cables and his uncle brought him back. I'll make a note of that and we'll look into that. I think the other one is on road to rail. From the studies that we've done with University of Stellenbosch, there is about 30% of the traffic that currently runs on road that can be converted to move on rail. And one of the things that we're working at the moment, in the past 2 years, we've had a lot of successes on road to rail. As the acting GCE, Mike Fanuki, has mentioned, magnetite going to Maputo was about 2 million tons a year on road. We moved it to rail. And various other areas where we had successes. But the area where we are now pursuing partnerships and collaboration with private sector is on the FMCG area. And the reason there being is we want to go into that market where we partner with the first mile and the last mile. And with companies out there who also have trucks for the first mile and last mile and warehousing and distribution. Because one of the problems we have is if we were to move Woolworths traffic off road, we don't have a railway line that goes to the Woolworths store. So we need to partner with trucks who can help us, and maybe we consolidate it in a warehouse and then partner with trucks to move that short distance for the first mile and the last mile. On the 1064, I think as Honourable Chair, as our Chair has indicated, the 508 locomotives have arrived. The remainder is 556, which still has to be built. It's not yet built. And the 508 are in operations and they are pulling trains and they are working very, very well. The other area that I want to talk about is, the mention was made, Chair, by Honourable Member Ranto, on when we close the gap, who do we compare ourselves with? On the rail side and on the port side, we benchmark with the best railways in the world. So, for example, at the moment, we use the University of Stellenbosch, and we benchmarked on the rail side with Burlington North Santa Fe, they call BNSF, and Union Pacific in the U.S. and ALL in Brazil. We benchmark in 10 areas, which is operating ratio, safety, efficiencies, revenue per employee, return on assets, and so forth. Just so that we say, if we want to become better than who we are, how do we compare ourselves to the best? What is the benchmark to say where are we and what do we look at like? So in that benchmarking, there are some areas we are number 5, some areas we are number 9, and some areas, believe it or not, we are number 3, like the operating ratio, for example. The relationship with Plaza, I must say, in the past 2 months, we have had extensive discussions with Mr. Sibusiso Sithole, the group CEO of Plaza, and we have come much closer than what we used to be previously. So, for example, only yesterday we sent him a letter where he requested us to second some engineers to critique some of the investments that they would like to make in their Volmerton rolling stock depot to move it from one place to another place. And he just wanted a fresh pair of eyes to look at it. But he also indicated to us in the discussions we've had with him that as we move forward, he would like us to see us work more closely where, for example, we buy railway lines, they buy railway lines. We buy signaling, they buy signaling. And some of the things are duplication. So he did indicate he wants to work with us very closely on those areas because, after all, we are one railway. I think also on the Plaza side, I want to also say that the wherever Prasa needs to run new services, and they're going to traverse on our line, they inform us well in advance. So the KwaZulu-Natal line, if they wish to build, Honorable Chair to Honorable Member Rantau, KZN to Matatiel, they will talk to us as well about it. Like at the moment they are talking to us about, for example, Bloemfontein, Lesotho. They say to us that that area has got a lot of trucks and buses on the road and is dangerous for people. So they will talk to us on that as well. Then on the accident in the Free State between Henenham and Kroonstad, that was a Prasa train that unfortunately collided with a truck where quite a few people died. What happens is, it was not a Transnet train, but when those things happen, we always offer our assistance to Prasa. Because Prasa may not have depots that are nearby to help with emergency vehicles and all those kind of things. And we were on site at this derailment, offering our assistance to them. I think the only other, Overval Tunnel. This Overval Tunnel is a tunnel between Ermelo and Freyert. And this tunnel at the end of the day is a 4 kilometer long tunnel and it's over 40 years old. And the project has started, Honorable Chair, to build a new tunnel. The work has been done by the engineers on the design of the new tunnel, and the options on the table at the moment is either a drill and blast or a tunnel boring machine. And in the next 2 to 3 months, Chair, we will go out on tender for this tunnel, because this tunnel is the only single line on the coal export line. So if we build another tunnel on the coal export line, so the coal export line is a double line on its entire journey from Ermelo to Richards Bay, but in the tunnel it is a single line. And so we will go out on tender in the next 2 to 3 months, and we expect, we are hoping that whoever wins the tender are able to build a new tunnel in the next 3 years. Because it's a major risk to us. If that tunnel collapses tomorrow, the coal line will stop. And if the coal line stops, it's going to be in excess of 300 million rand a day that Transnet and the economy will lose. I think I've covered most of the things here, Mike. Thanks, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Ravi. Then I'm going to ask Shalami just to and Urban to touch on the issues on Saldanha, on the oil and gas, and what we would have spent on the 7.5 billion, Urban, because you touched that, and then also on the properties in Frederenburg, the small Transnet properties. I think, Urban, if you can touch on that as well, please. So if Urban starts, and then we'll hand over to Shalami. Shalami will also touch on the helicopter issue, and I think that should cover those questions. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Okay, I think on Saldanha, maybe we should just start by saying the Saldanha area is part of the SIP5 program. And SIP5 is looking at the unlocking of that corridor from Sishen down to Saldanha. But the bulk of that project is actually focused around the actual Saldanha Bay port. The idea being that we start to use, well, government's idea rather, is that we start to use that port as the seed and catalyst for an oil and gas cluster in the economy. So Transnet participates in all of the SIP5 meetings and processes, and as a result, we are in close contact with all of the stakeholders, and I think the main stakeholder in this respect is the Saldanha Bay SEZ management. Now, some of the projects we initially committed to under Operation Pakisa was actually on an offshore oil and gas supply base, and I think that project is already in operations. And then we committed to ship repair and rig repair facilities in the port as well. And I think those projects are being prepared to go to market. We're also in discussions with the IDZ on the relationship between the IDZ
and the Port Authority. There's a close relationship because we're both trying to actually work together to try and see how we can get this cluster to kick off. But the land that's required is actually shared between us and the IDZ. They're actually adjacent to each other. So we are busy with the discussions on the nature of the lease that needs to happen between ourselves and them. So I don't know if Shulami can give more information on where those projects actually are. But in terms of the strategic intent, I think all the parties to this project are of the same view. We see the potential there, and we committed to try to realize it as quickly as possible.
One who wishes to add? Go ahead.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Maybe just to add on what Evan has said, that yes, indeed, the offshore oil and gas and the marine manufacturing hub at the Port of Saldanha are initiative two of the Operation Pagisa project. And the numbers that were shared by Honorable Murray, the 7.5 billion is a correct number. That was the outcome of the FEL2 study that was done in 2014. But then when you look at what we need to do in the Port of Saldanha, there's the offshore supply base, which we have now appointed the operator, as Evan has indicated. We spend about 156 million as Transnet to create the berth. Now that we've done the berth, the operator is also looking at spending just above 1.8 billion to build up a facility to do the offshore for oil and gas. Then we still need to talk about the MOS gas facility. The MOS gas facility is looking at about 3.5 billion. That's the estimated cost. Then we have berth 205. You would recall that we used to do rigs in berth 204, but now berth 204 is currently being utilized for manganese. So we do rigs offshore currently. So we're looking at going out to market. We've tested the market. We came back empty-handed, but we're going out to market again on the rigs and ship repair, including the MOS gas facility. So it is now sitting at around 8.5 billion, but that excludes the infrastructure requirement because we have not yet quantified that. So the number might even be higher than the 8.5 that you've just mentioned. Evan indicated that we are working very closely with the IDZ. We had a member of TNPA, in fact, an employee of TNPA sitting at the IDZ board, because we are looking at collaborating. There are pockets of lands that the IDZ is interested in. Some is within Port's limit, some is outside Port's limit. We've already given a portion of land within Port's limit, but there are additional requirements which we are finalizing the agreements around that and having discussions with the IDZ. So that's where we are for the Port of Saldanha, Honorable Chair. The helicopters, the two helicopters that we are procuring, Honorable Ranto, are for transporting the pilots. When a vessel enters the ports, we have to fetch the vessel and navigate it through to get to the berth. So we use helicopters and we also use pilot boats. But when we faced with bad weather, it's safer to use a helicopter than a pilot boat. So the two new helicopters, one will be for the Port of Durban, and the second helicopter will be for the Port of Richards Bay to replace the current fleet. The current fleet, we will deploy one helicopter to the Port of Cape Town because we are also faced with bad weather in the Port of Cape Town, and we are looking at the other ports as well where we are challenged with weather. So they are purely meant for the transportation of the pilots to improve efficiencies.
Thank you. sorry. I'm just going to ask Makosini Shongwe to respond about the NMPP and the period of the work that's been done in, herein as well. If you can give us a guidance on that, please.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. The NMPP, as it was started in 2006, it was meant to respond to the security of supply. And as it was started, it was more of a like-for-like replacement of the Durban-Johannesburg pipeline. With the realization that at the time the economic growth was at around 5%, it was decided that the NMPP should actually be a 24-inch pipeline rather than a 16-inch pipeline. That resulted with an increased scope and also a need to have much, much higher capacity. At this stage, Chair, the pipeline is operational and is operating at 1,000 cubes per hour, which is the first phase of its operation. It has been built for much, much higher capacity, but that capacity could only be utilized if you have two terminals in Johannesburg and in Durban that are able to pump at higher volumes. At this point in time, the terminal in Johannesburg is completed. What is left is the terminal in Durban. The work that we are undertaking right now is to build about 8 tanks to be able to pump at that higher rates. The plan, which has started with the design already, is to commission those tanks at around 2023. So that is where we are with the NMPP. As it is right now, it's operating, as Mike said, at about 18 billion liters per year, but that capacity, as soon as we have TM1 operational, could be tripled, obviously with the addition of pump station as well.
Makosini, if I can also ask you just to respond on, the question was asked, which projects have been stopped on ports, pipelines and locos? And I think there's only one project that has, but if you can just shed some light on that.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Currently, the only project that has been stopped is what we call berth deepening project in Devon. Pier 2 berth deepening and strengthening project. So currently Transnet is undergoing some investigations around this project, and the view is that the investigations are going to be concluded around end of March. And this process was still in the procurement event. The contractor was just appointed to start working on one of the packages, but then Transnet needed to do this investigation, and we're currently putting a stop work order in order to be able to finalize the investigations.
Thank you, Makosini. I'm going to ask Mario to respond to a few questions from the Chair in terms of the procurement spend and the MDS. Why didn't we reach a budgeted CAPEX target, and what prevented us? Thanks, Mario.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Just in terms of the procurement spend, if I just want to quickly go to the slide. Just wanted to clarify that the indicators here are not mutually exclusive, meaning that there could be black women-owned businesses by definition in black-owned businesses and vice versa. The combined procurement spend in terms of the triple PFA for Transnet has been well above 85% over the last 3 to 4 years, even reaching 100% two and three years ago. The targets are set in line with the triple PFA Act and the principles behind that, and the targets are also then included in our annual shareholders compact that we negotiate with the Department of Public Enterprises and the Minister. Then just to quickly respond to the question why we didn't necessarily spend the entire 300 billion as we envisaged in the year where we embarked on the MDS is one of the key principles of the MDS at the time was that we were anticipating GDP growth to be sitting at between 3 and 4% per annum over the foreseeable future. And as Mike indicated, in 2014, we had the commodity slumped and the markets crashed, and we had to reassess the rate of investment in line with the revised commodity outlook and the demand for freight. And some of the investments that we didn't need to invest, like the manganese channel to achieve 16 million tons, we could then take out of the capital investment program and prioritize to other programs. Also, at the time, we were anticipating Eskom volumes to ramp up from 12 to 14 million tons per annum to 32 million tons per annum, which certainly is not the case. And the associated investments for those kinds of forecasts were then removed out of the capital investment plan because the associated returns would certainly not materialize. And that would have put our balance sheet and the financial ratios at significant risk. We wouldn't have been able to repay debt if we have spent 300 billion to date with some of the business or sectors that didn't pan out in the way which we initially anticipated in MDS.
Thank you, Mario. I'm going to just, there were two questions that would have gone through to Avril Halstead from, if you could answer those, please, Avril.
So the one question, and unfortunately the member has left, there was an inference that the board that is sitting here today and the other members who are not present with us today is the interim board. There was originally an interim board that was appointed. If I remember correctly, it was only for about 2 or 3 weeks. This board has been formally appointed. They are, as much as what you can say, a permanent board at Transnet. There was also a second question relating to the rule amendment relating to the 2% increases for the pensioners. That the department is in the process of busy processing that. We are hoping that we'll be able to get a response to Transnet shortly.
I think we've got two questions left. Thank you, Avril, to answer. And I'm going to ask our one board member to respond in terms of the Attorney General report. So if I can ask our board member, Ramasela Ganda, to answer in terms of the qualified audits and what are we doing about it with the Attorney General.
Why the officials cannot answer that? Why the executive cannot answer that? Only the board member can answer that. Why are you?
Honourable Chair, I think in respect, I think we could also answer it, but I think the working relationship between the board and ourselves is such, and I don't want to second guess the board member, and she has worked very closely with our chief financial officer on this. I'm very confident that she... and with the AG, so I'm very confident that she'll give the best answer in the room.
Okay, go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Chair. Maybe we correct and say Auditor General. What we've done since the day that we knew that we're in a qualified position, we started with, and also with a push that came with the funders, as I've indicated, we did what we call a remedial plan of really getting us back to where we're supposed to be as a company. And the remedial plan had number of milestones that we put. And one of the milestones was we need to make sure that doesn't matter how bad our irregular expenditure are, we're not going to be qualified on the basis of failure to disclose irregular expenditure. So we will be transparent and we'll be fair. And one of the action there was to make sure that we've got completeness of irregular expenditure. So, and part of the remedial action plan was also looking at integrated assurance. When we came in Transnet, we realized that, you know, our first layer of assurance, which was supposed to be management, that layer failed. And the second layer of assurance, which was supposed to be the risk department, that also failed. The third layer that was supposed to be our internal audit, we as Transnet have outsourced the entire internal audit with only a handful of the Department of Internal Audit. And that, if you may recall, honorable members, Transnet was audited by three companies, and two of them were the companies that Auditor General had to remove from even their database, which was KPMG and Ngonki. So that left Transnet again in a situation where the third level of defense, and when I'm talking defense of just making sure internal controls are working, also failed, and we got ourselves in a position where we were just open. So part of coming back and making sure that we don't get the repeat, we looked at the internal audit function and we said we do not have the right capacity for internal audit to be able to play that third layer of assurance that we know when management fails, when risk is failing to detect any breach of internal control, at least we can rely on our internal audit. And then we are now in the journey of just reinforcing that internal audit. We've appointed the head of risk that started earlier in the year. I think she might be like 2 months or 3 months with us now, just to make sure that that is working. And then we went back into the first layer of management and we're saying, you are accountable as managers. You need to make sure that as part even of the key performance indicators as well as your performance contract, these are the critical areas. Procurement is still an issue. I will not sit here and say Transnet procurement is clean. Procurement in Transnet is still an issue. The skills is not there to execute the way that will give us comfort. And hence what we said with the executive, we're starting a war room because we've gone through the process. The number of extensions that we're getting on contracts are just too many. I mean, we renew contracts and it just comes with the culture. We renew contracts on contracts on contracts, and we got to a point that that's not what we came here for. We didn't come here to perpetuate the status quo that led us into a situation where a contract can be renewed for 3 times, and those are the things that we looked at. We say finance must look and procurement must look at all transversal contracts and really give us a plan of action for each and every contract. When is the contract expiring? Who is responsible for the contract? And how are we going to make sure that we don't rush every time to National Treasury and ask him for extension of contract? And you, when you start looking at all those contracts, you can see that there's someone who's really at some stage, you feel like they're putting the board in a position where if you don't renew the contract, then the train will not move. And we got to a point that say, then somebody will move. Maybe the train might not move, but someone will move, because the challenge we've got, where we end up in a state where Transnet does not have fuel for its train. And those are the things that we're just trying to put together. That so we actually said this year was a year of us just trying to put the building blocks together, and we are now going out to the market looking for the chief procurement officer, because we don't have. Capacitate the supply chain department, capacitate fully the internal audit department, and really making sure that we are what we say we are all about, of making sure that we provide clean governance at Transnet. So the process of recruitment will be underway, and the process of making sure that we implement our remedial action. And part of the remedial action was, and our discussion and our agreement with the banks, was that if this remedial action plan is not audited, it cannot be taken seriously by the bank. By the banks, and that's what we needed to do. We needed our action to be monitored. Why are we missing deadline as the board that promised them? Why are we at a certain level? So those are the things that we're putting. Are we going to end 31st March 19 better than last year? At least what we are hoping for is that we shouldn't end up with a qualification, but we can't promise you that all is well at this point. We're saying we're working with management, we're working with the risk, we're working with internal audit to make sure that at least when moving forward in the new year, we are in a better position. We don't have wasteful expenditure that should be utilized for better things. Thanks, Chair.
If I may add to that, there were two questions, controlled checks and from Honourable Soma and from Honourable Marae also on Procurement Department. What we've also done is we've taken away a lot of delegations of authority. We've revised it quite drastically because we found that, for instance, the Group Chief Executive could sign for 2 million rands every day, 10 times a day, without having to account to anybody. So we've taken away a lot of the delegations that were allowing that to happen.
Okay, thank you. And then I think the last question that's outstanding is for Di Matsogo is in terms of the skills development targets. If you could address that, please.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. In addressing that, I would like to ask Shulami to speak to it, and I'll conclude after she has spoken. Shulami?
1 minute for both of you.
Thank you, Chair. We were going to talk through the completed projects and what we've done for the community or as part of supplier development. There are two ways. We can put that as part of the report that will come to the committee because it talks to all the projects that we've done at the ports, the projects that we've done on the rail side, and also the projects that we've done on the pipeline, if that is acceptable to you.
Covered?
Yes, thank you, Chair.
Okay. Sorry, I've just been pointed out that there's one question we haven't answered. Is the question, Mario, was the question is we're getting marches 2 days away and, you know, identifying projects for recapitalization by the end of March.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I think we may have overstated the extent of monetization of assets in the sentence. It's trying to finalize some of the smaller non-core properties, in-transit properties that have been in the pipeline that we want to conclude on. It includes scrap sales and it includes also then just inventory optimization in TE, that there's a host of aged inventory that we can then also sell off to reduce our working capital investment in inventories.
Thank you very much. Are you done now?
Yes, Chair, we're done. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to go back to the first question or remark that I've made about speeding up the legal processes. I just want to make the following remark. It was actually a decision by this portfolio committee when we had the inquiry into Eskom to extend that to another inquiry into Transnet and to the NEL. The fifth parliament is nearly over. And this parliament dissolves on the 20th of March, coming up. The election is on the 8th of May. The new portfolio committee can make the decision to go ahead with Transnet. So that's actually, it's not a pleasant, it's not at all pleasant to ask questions to people. It's pleasant to ask, but not to answer. So I say maybe we can, in a certain sense, in Afrikaans say, vermijd it and go ahead as soon as possible. What are you doing on your side as a board? Secondly, I want to go back to the land issue. It wasn't fully addressed for me. I give my info to the acting CEO. I would love then the person that's in charge of land, I'm specifically important about land, ground, pieces of land within Vredenburg that's now used for Transnet. And if you have property or assets that's now used, get rid of it with your state of affairs. That's the way you run a business. So can you please put me in contact with that person? Because the previous CEO tried to do it, but he didn't know because he wasn't in the chair for that long. So please, can you attend to that? And then, it's only no questions, it's about remarks. So that's all I want to say. Thank you, Chair.
You had one of your follow-up. You can make one now.
Okay, Chair. Let me then say I would also let me take it as concerns that I'm not satisfied with the issue of the 100 locomotives plus the 508 locomotives. And the explanation thereafter, I so wish I can get something that is written on paper that we can then get to the response to me is not enough. Okay. And the issue of the road to rail is also still an issue. If you are talking about taking Woolworths clothing from whatever shop to the other shop. I'm talking about long distance. I'm not talking about short distance when I'm talking from rail, from road to rail transportation. I'm not talking short distances. I'm talking long distances. And if from Joburg to Eastern Cape, for example, if you are driving from Joburg to Eastern Cape, that's 800 plus. Kilometers maybe. So I was talking about that. And the last one is hopefully the tunnel and the engineers that are going to look at that tunnel will not give us a design that will be in 10 years time questionable. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. In 5 minutes time, I want to close the meeting exactly at 13:30. Let me start by saying that on the issues that you have committed yourself in terms of the skills development, what the work that you do with the community, you'll finish that. You'll finish the committee through the chairperson's office by the 13th of March. The second part that you are going to finish us are the questions that Honorable Ranto is saying that it was not enough, then you'll also furnish that information as I've explained earlier on. The third part is what Honorable Mare has indicated, that the Sixth Parliament Portfolio Committee may or may not want to proceed with the Transnet inquiry, but that doesn't stop the board to do what they've already started to do to try and clean up the SOE, which is a Transnet. On the road to rail strategy, would like you to really would want to make a recommendation when we are finalizing our legacy report that would like Transnet to make a presentation to the Sixth Parliament Portfolio Committee, or this we are recommending to the Sixth Parliament Portfolio Committee to ask Transnet to make a presentation on where they are with the strategy on the road to rail, because that has been coming in bits and pieces, and really now we want to know the full implementation. And the second issue that we are going to, I'm proposing that to the committee that we include on our legacy report, is the cable theft issue, which is a major issue, is a high risk factor for Transnet. Honorable Ranto made mention of allegations that comes from the Belleville branch, which I don't think in the country is the only one, and by allegations about our employees, or one employee, or some of the employees, and as I'm saying, it's not the only area. It means it might not be one employee. It might be a number of employees, but also the members of the society who get involved, who are not necessarily employees of the ESCOM. But I think it's important to start with ESCOM to deal as part of the cleaning up of Transnet. We welcome the suggestion. In fact, it's a commitment that has been made by one of you that you are prepared to further investigate the matter in Belleville by involving the external investigation. The board will look at that in terms of the finances thereof. That will appreciate that if it does happen. Having said that, and when I'm raising these issues, I'm directing it to also to your attention, DDG, acting DDG, that the department must see to it that is happening. I appreciate the work that has been done by members of the committee today, because the report that you have presented is highly technical, and we received your presentation very late, and the minister's office did indicate that the delays were due to the minister being in Pretoria with the president. We know the crisis that we are faced with at ESCOM, so the whole day, and the minister couldn't sign off the presentation, and we were only able to receive the presentation yesterday, just before 1600 hours, to be exact. I think it was around 15:45, quarter to four, and or 16:15, if I'm correct. But I really, really am happy that the members were able to interact with Transnet under those constraints a time factor. But we do understand that the crisis that the department is faced with and the minister. And I'm happy, particularly, we are happy that the board has hit the ground running and we can see the results. There's still a long way to go in terms of procurement issues, in terms of cleaning up, but we can see that where you are going, you are clear what is happening, what had happened at Transnet, and where are you now, and you envisage where you want to go. And as a portfolio committee, we are here, and in the future portfolio committee will be here to support you on that in relation to you, particularly working with the law enforcement authorities in relation to cleaning up the Transnet, and that might prompt the sixth parliament to work with you and give you a space even before they decide whether to proceed or not to proceed with, if they see the inquiry, if they see that you are really on board with the cleaning of the SOEs. We note that very soon you are going to appear before the Zondo Commission, of which we've been waiting. We've noticed this week that ESCOM is they have begun with ESCOM, and now they'll be moving with Transnet, of which we hope that after yourself, Dinelle as well will be called. So those are, we'll watch the proceedings. If we have time, although we are pressed with the election activities, But in our evenings, when we find time, we'll be monitoring those proceedings. I think we are very happy that the board is aware of on the daily activities of the entity. That is very encouraging. And with those words, thank you very much for your delegation, which is a full house delegation, and then our guest that has been with us for our own duration of the meeting. And on that point, all the meetings.